CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning, everybody. It is a Friday. Not just any Friday, it's Friday the 13th. And for a lot of people, it's the last Friday of the year. Last working Friday of the year. How exciting is that? That's wonderful. This morning, we are joined by the full cast and crew. We have Gugu. We have Sia. We have Bulelo. We've got Pinky in the wings. We've got Leanne Mole. She's driving in. She obviously had a big night last night. And
is she the new Gord? She comes in her own time.
She's the new Gord. And then Ben. Well, Gord is just
Hello, Ben.
Gord is absent the whole time. Ah, sure. Good morning.
Gord's and like that kid who didn't come to school anymore because his parents moved away or he got measles or something.
Yeah, nobody even asks about him at the school anymore because they're worried they'll catch whatever it was.
Oh.
Yes, and Ben is back for his triumphant return on this last Friday of the year for him.
And Gugu's last day, apparently.
It is.
Gugu said
it is my last day.
He said he didn't want to make a fuss out of it, so obviously
we'll make thanks, a fuss. Ben.
So we'll make a big
fuss. Right at the beginning.
Tribute to Gugu at 7:30.
Calm yourself down.
That's his love language.
See, your problem is also you don't wear the headphones appropriately, so you can't hear when you're loud.
They mess with my head, Garrett. It's like someone's bumping me in the ears.
Well, thank goodness you're leaving.
Gosh, every morning every morning must be terrifying to you if your headphones are your fate. I couldn't work in radio. I was being pumped in the head every day.
Does everyone want to take this moment hold hands and sing kumbaya for a moment?
No, let's not.
Who's in the Christmas spirit?
Leanne, what are you doing?
What's happening, Leanne?
I made him boo-boo,
see,
okay?
See, you're shouting again.
Sorry, guys.
Because you don't have headphones on.
Sorry.
That's why we wear them in radio, not because they look good.
So, Gugu, what did you actually learn in the studio for the last few months?
Clearly nothing. I'm wasting my time. So, anybody in the Christmas spirit yet?
I am, since walking into this place. This place is like Santa's kind of work studio. Yeah, there's trees, there's gifts, there's young people.
Yeah,
there's smiles, there's laughter.
Oh, young people get you in the Christmas spirit, Ben.
Yes.
Yeah, of
course. Old people don't.
Old people are like, bloody Christmas and gifts and shopping. People are excited.
I had a conversation with someone yesterday who is so miserable about Christmas.
Why?
I don't know, but I was like, Merry Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked at me like I'd just put a hot poo on their desk.
Well, that's because it's the 13th of December.
Yeah, but come on. I mean, it's just around the corner. If you're not in the mood.
Do you think it's too early, Leanne?
Yeah.
Oh no.
See, Leanne was the conversation, wasn't it, Gareth?
So
12 days.
No, it wasn't Leanne. It was I like Christmas, and people who don't like Christmas, look, it's not gonna bother me, it's not gonna put me off. But I thought I'd insulted this person because they were so unhappy looking with what I'd said, and all I'd said was have a Merry Christmas. You can't even say that to people sometimes. They get upset with you.
Well, I've been thinking about this, like what makes people upset? Because I've had a bit of a low week.
And, why? Why did you have a low week?
It's tough to be South African at the moment, Gareth. It's tough.
No, well, but, you mean, I mean like the load shedding and the flooding and
I just didn't have a good week. Everyone goes through bad weeks. And I think
it was just because it rained over your golf weekend.
It did a bit, but that was okay. But people are upset for various reasons, and you guys brought it up the other day. Piles. Imagine if you've had piles, but like industrial-level piles, and someone says to you, Merry Christmas, and you're like, these piles, it's going to be the worst Christmas ever. And then it's like, well, screw you. Mm. He's not actually being upset. So
he's just upset with the piles. Yeah,
and I often said, like I was walking around a mall yesterday, and some people just look so sullen and like life is gone. And sometimes it has.
Well, I know that there are lots of people whose financial circumstances are not ideal. I mean, I don't think anyone's are ideal. I don't think billionaires are happy with the economy the way it is at the moment, but at least they got billions.
Yeah, at least that can comfort them.
But we all think our lives would be better if we were billionaires, but maybe the billionaires have children they fucking hate.
Being a billionaire comes with so much responsibility.
Yeah, maybe you're being targeted for land expropriation without compensation.
Kidnapping.
Yeah, maybe someone's trying to steal your wife away from you, another billionaire.
You clearly just don't have the right makings. Have you followed Dan Bilzerian on Instagram?
What's he doing now? What's he up to lately?
Well, you just have to take a glance over the things that he posts.
I unfollowed him a while ago because I felt it was an unrealistic comparison to make with my own life.
That's why I don't follow him either, yeah.
Never heard of him.
Oh, you don't know him? Okay, he's a billionaire.
I think he's a multimillionaire, actually. Not even
maybe a multimillionaire, but he plays poker for a living. He's got lots of money. I think he inherited a bunch of money as well. And he's in his 40s.
It's the early 40s.
Best known for his lavish lifestyle.
Yes.
39 years old.
39. Okay, so he looks older than that because he's got heart problems, takes a lot of drugs, has a lot of hookers, has a lot of yachts. Combines the hookers, yachts, drugs, and drink.
He was
poker and nudity into a life that is just. There isn't a guy in the world who doesn't have some small part of him that wants to live that kind of life.
Is this the next Jeff Bezos?
No, it's much better than that.
Different.
Really?
He was like, as Hugh Hefner started to die, which was like a bit of a lengthy process. He kind of became this guy. He was like the icon of flex culture on Instagram. So there he was with his shirt off and like. Girls next to him, but he would like parade them like ornaments,
like a cornucopia of women. Just
and then he would have like guns and supercars.
His beard is ridiculous.
And it's a stupid beard. Yeah.
Ridiculously good?
No, bad. Very bad.
So for a lot of guys, that's like the alpha male kind of person.
That is a cool beard, Leanne. What's wrong?
So much hair. It's like a mott on his face.
A mott again.
A vagina.
In the south.
Yeah, yours.
In the south, it is.
Every now and again, you are so south.
Every now and then, she pulls that out of
love it.
The bottom drawer of her.
You can take Leanne out of Glen Vista.
Glen Vista out of Leanne.
I have never heard of that term before.
Is it?
A mott.
Oh, my mott is itchy.
But you don't say mott. You don't say mott. You say mott.
Mott.
Yeah. Mott. You have to say that at the
You've
end.
Really
mott.
Got to almost like be abuse the O before you get to the T.
Mott.
Well, talking about a Christmas spirit, though, there's this great organization near me. It's called One Small Act of Kindness. A friend actually tipped me off about it. And
why are you bringing everyone down?
No. Hello?
Gosh, you go from much to One Small Act of Kindness.
We are talking about a great Christmas spirit, okay? And they do a lot of cool work.
We have to talk about charity for when we're all having fun.
Yes, we do.
God, brought down by Sia.
And so one of the things that they do is foster a lot of kids. So they have now...
Oh, this is getting worse. Jesus Christ. Do you want to fucking spoil everyone?
A lifespan of 3 years.
You must be such a lot of fun. Yeah, here's our wish for a dream child at our Christmas dinner, everybody. This is little Calvin. Calvin's got 3 days to live.
Can you let me finish? May I?
Yeah, well, go ahead. As long as there's no Calvin.
No.
I just want to see a sunrise.
Because there are a lot of kids around, they have decked out the house so well for Christmas. I was actually there last night. How awesome does this look?
Oh, wow.
It's
nice.
Like, thank you. If you let me finish, we would have had this moment.
Is that where the Reach for Dream kids go for their last?
Are you sure? That looks like Babylon's dance floor. Is
Isn't
that
it awesome?
You got the right clip there.
I was honestly there, and I just wanted to hang around more and more and more. It really, really looks cool.
No, that is cool. One thing I have not been to see is the lights at Melrose Arch.
Oh, I did that,
really.
Oh, you did that, Ben?
Really
there's more this year.
So you on your own? Did you go on your own, Ben, and wander around alone like a homeless person?
I went on my own.
Watch the little children.
Of course not. No, it's actually very cool. So there's like the main road, and then you go into the other square, and then they've made that square into a place where Jesus might have been born, or I wasn't paying attention towards the end. But
was he born at Melrose Arch?
He was, yeah.
Yes,
sir. In a manger.
So much sense.
And Mary's mott.
Out of Mary's mott.
Whoa! New level.
Respect Mother Mary.
Yeah, and you brought it up and you said itchy. So from there, it's open season.
Yeah. All right, so it's pretty. It's worth going to have a look.
Totally worth going. But now, because we are in the depths of December, you will have many kids.
Yeah, they're going to be lots of kids. But that's cool. I mean, you know, that children and the noise of happy children is part of what makes Christmas nice. And Pinky looks like she disagrees. She's still stuck in the mott.
Okay, never heard the word mott.
Mott. Well, this weekend we do our annual Clifmas carols at my parents' house, which is, this has been going, I figured it out with my mom and dad the other day, that my grandparents started doing this long before I was born. Must have been, I don't know, 100 years ago.
Are they dead? Like,
yeah, they're dead. They're dead, but the tradition continues. And now my parents do it, and when they're dead, I'll have to do it.
Oh, my word.
Mm. But they invite, I don't know, 100 people.
You're going to have children or adopt from Sia's Christmas house.
You can adopt through Sia's network of
of goodwill.
So that they can continue it as well.
Yeah, but clearly the people in Sia's network don't have long to live, so that would be a pointless adoption.
Well, that's true.
No, you can just make Sia your patron or follow on Christmas, and then he'll take his, it'll be the next generation.
He's dying inside, by the way.
Just, I've got to tell you something really stupid someone sent me yesterday. You'll all appreciate this because I know Gord is the biggest grammar Nazi of us all, but this is really hilarious. Someone sent a screenshot of a whole bunch of kids, right, dressed up as elves, but then there's one little black kid who's dressed up as Elvis, and it says, kids got a letter telling them to dress as elves, and the one kid came as Elvis. I can't fucking breath. I said, you know, there's something ironic about people who can't tell the difference between breath and breathe, laughing at someone who can't tell the difference between elves and Elvis.
Completely.
Do me a favor, people being superior. How dare they?
That's not a win for us, though.
How dare they?
Yeah, one down on your side.
So what are you going to do for Christmas, Sia? Are you going to spend it with people who are dying?
I'm actually crossing my arms now.
I heard, so listen to this. Sia is, he quietly gets along with doing nice things. Yeah, you don't know I know this.
What did you hear?
Sia, Sia donates blood.
Oh, you're a blood donor?
Yeah,
that's amazing.
I can't do that. I overheard him taking a call the other day, and it's not about you, Ben and Gugu.
No, I'm just saying, it's a noble task that I can never do.
Yeah, he got a call the other day, and he didn't know I was listening, and he said, "Yes, I'll be there to donate blood." And
meanwhile, his sandwich just arrived. He's, yes, I shall donate the blood.
No, it's like an easy process, guys. And like,
where do you go?
Yeah, there are blood donor centers around Johannesburg. There's one in Four Ways. There's one in Northgate.
How often do you do this?
You can go every 2 to 3 months.
Do you?
Yeah. You think about it, it's only just 4 times a year. They stick a needle in you.
Yeah, they stick a needle in you.
Yeah, but how
great. And then when you end up in an accident, you'd wish someone else stuck a needle if you needed a blood donation.
But, yeah. But how much do they take every time?
Depending on how much you can give.
Because I would imagine it's quite relative. Like, because you give blood, there's probably not much to give because you're quite small in structure and makeup.
No, everyone has the same amount of blood in them.
Yeah, but Sia's only...
But you can't have the same amount of blood as Sia.
You've got more blood than Sia, Gareth. You're a bigger person.
I don't know so much. I think it might be standardized.
I didn't know.
It might be a little bit more or less. But I know someone who, she had 5 liters less blood than everyone else, which is a shitload. And the doctor said you shouldn't even be alive. That's apparently what her body does.
5 liters less.
How's that possible?
I don't know. I mean, I think the number was wrong. Maybe I misremembered.
Maybe it was 500 mils.
Probably 500
mils.
Maybe 5
pints, or I don't know. But she has less blood than everyone else running through her system. And
no one wants my blood.
No one wants it?
What's wrong with your blood?
There's just so much stuff floating around in there.
Alcohol?
Oh, Leanne.
Yeah.
What do you think is in your blood right now?
Sexual diseases, drugs, alcohol.
When last did you do any drugs?
Low
Seriously.
Sugar. Oh, very long time ago, hey? Yeah,
no, exactly. I think it's cleared out.
I think it's about time I do it again.
That's what your kidneys are for, right?
Yeah. Well, if you still have kidneys.
Yeah. Do you still have your kidneys? Both?
I think so.
They weren't taken away in some organ harvesting ritual when you joined the Satanic Church and the Swingers Club?
Might have been, I don't know.
It's very, listen, all of this is true. We're not even making this up.
Body's been through a lot.
Apparently it is a pint that they take out
there
of you.
There we go.
A pint of blood. That's the same amount that they pour you at a pub.
So that's 0.5 litre.
Mm-hmm. Everyone has 6 litres of blood, apparently. And that is from a doctor, so we know it's true. And then there's quite a lot of fun stuff coming in for Christmas. Ben is in the house, says somebody. I'm so ready for cynical punches on the GCS. That's what you're known for.
That's not my game.
Woke up to the fantastic results of the UK elections. Worst Labour performance since World War II. I've seen so many lefty pundits finally realize that Twitter isn't real. Yeah. This is going to start happening more and more.
Oh, that's great news.
When Trump gets reelected next year, there are a bunch of people whose heads are going to explode. So watch. Oh, by the way, speaking of people's heads exploding, the EFF are having their Congress or whatever they call it. You know, like their version of Nasrec.
Okay. When is it happening?
Today.
Oh, to be a bottle store in that area. Cha-ching. We haven't shifted the Johnny Blue this yet.
Notes trip.
We saved it for the EFF weekend because you know they're going to be pouring in there.
There's pallets waiting themselves outside.
Yeah. Pallets of Johnny Blue. How magnificent. So that's happening this weekend. Where is Google going? Just when I thought I was smarter than everyone, they leave. Oh, that's nice. That's a burn.
Shade. Wow.
Sure. You guys rock. Thanks for starting my day every day and making me laugh. Merry Christmas to all from Tammy. Isn't that nice? And Ken Barbinski, welcome back.
Yeah, right.
There's a little welcome for you from Sandile. All right. Well, we do have some news later on. We've got plenty of other good stuff to discuss. And we will take your thoughts and calls and voice notes and messages and whatever else you want to send on 079-748-2090. What are your plans for Christmas, Ken Barbinski?
Family stuff. So I'll be
good.
I'll be in Rubik West. So on the 18th, I'm doing a little golf tour. So I'm going down.
That's next week already.
Yeah, Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going from here to Durban and I'm playing 5 courses in 5 days en route.
Nice.
So me and a friend of mine who now lives in China, but he's here for a month, we are playing a different course every day. And then in that time, we'll see 2 different people every single golf course. So that's quite a nice little tour. And then, yeah, fly down to the Cape. Now, where I will do very little, actually.
It's very nice. Rubik West, isn't that the town that author who wrote the book about state capture?
He's Rubik Castile. So basically, Rubik Castile is like the famous kind of place. And then 3 kilometers down, people don't like noise.
Okay. But is that
the difference? It's the nicer part to live, but you go, you know, like Rubik Castile's got this square and there's like a couple of gay guys moved in and made nice restaurants and then the hotel got revamped. And basically, if you don't have gay people in a small town, you are not living up to your potential.
Yeah, God bless the gays, man.
They bring in the culture, you know.
Yeah. It's like, you know, if you have a town meeting and go, our town isn't what it could be, like, bring in the gays. Mm. Yeah. Tax breaks, the whole, make it happen.
And then you'll hear, do, 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 as they come marching in.
Next thing, there'll be floats and there'll be assless chaps.
And merriment and good food and culture and all those good things.
So, and not a mutt in sight.
Not a mutt.
Don't always have to have mutts to do nice things.
No, it's great.
Yeah, so good on the gays. So that's where I'll be, Gareth. That's where I'll be on the 4th of Jan.
Very nice, Ben.
Yeah, it's long enough.
The last time we spoke to you, you were bemoaning the state of dating in your 30s. Saying how miserable that is. Is there any improvement?
I don't think I was, because I wasn't really even thinking about that. Yeah, I'm not really doing this whole dating thing. I had a very boring week. I had a good week.
Yeah, you said so.
So after a weekend of golfing with my golfing buddies, I went on to Bumble.
Oh,
God, never do that again.
Now, what's the differentiator with Bumble?
All of these dating apps have to say the first thing, make the first move.
Okay, so with zero expectations, it's not like I'm putting any sort of major hopes in this. I went on it because I literally just wanted to see what it's like. Put a profile together. I don't know. I ticked off that I was an atheist conservative. Maybe that's why I didn't get any sort of hitbacks. And then I was like, why am I even updating my profile? This is stupid. But, like, I would never want to do this. Like,
what's the difference between a Bumble profile and a Tinder one? You make it the same?
Yeah, I haven't been on Tinder. I probably could do it. But the whole thing is, the reason I don't want to go on dating apps is because it's just another thing on your phone where you're just swiping, looking at people. I just
find the quality of people on there is horrible.
But that's exactly what I thought. My settings were set to Delmas because everyone I looked at was like, wow, okay. And I know that makes me sound like a superficial prick, which I probably mostly am. I'm not going to fight that, and it's not exactly a mystery.
Yeah,
but it's like there are just so many unattractive people looking for whatever they're looking for. And it's like, that's not really what I'm... I don't think I'm part of this category. Not that I'm better or anything like that. Yeah. It just seemed like a real waste of time.
I really look at humanity, and this is... It's always the most interesting question I get asked for those people, not for me. But like, you know, why are you single? And I said, but look at the state of humanity. Are you genuinely impressed with what you meet on a daily basis?
And now you want to force yourself into this whole thing, which I don't really like. If I meet someone, I meet someone. But this whole—I mean, it was actually a worthwhile exercise to go into this and think like, "Wow, so this is a dating pool."
Yeah, and that's what's on the app. So I mean, there's some people who are too embarrassed to be on the app. Imagine what they look like.
That's the perspective you guys have on life.
No, not on life. Well, don't get me wrong, Sia. I'm not a misery. I'm as happy as can be, but. That I do not need to. You don't need to visit the sewage farm to know it exists.
Mm-hmm.
Know what I mean?
Wow, that's
you drive past it and the smell alone will alert you to its presence.
It's just sadly
without you
accurate.
Having to go and pay attention to it. You don't have to go and see the dams where they stir the shit up and dry it out. Because that's what they do in a shit farm.
But then another thing about this bumble, okay? This won't be a very long conversation because it wasn't a very long exercise. But
well done. So, how long were you on for?
3 days, I think.
Wow. Only three, Ben?
You get some interest,
give it
though?
A chance.
You got some interest?
So you swipe through the people and you get into a cycle of swiping and you feel really bad. It's like, I'm sure these people are very nice, but swipe, 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 swipe. And then you get to like the end where it says, wow, you've been a busy bee. It's like, is that it? It's like 30 people here. And I said it like 50-kilometer radius. How far 50 kilometers is?
It's a long way.
I'm not going to drive 50 km
or something. To drive.
And then, so then it says, wow, you've got a like. Oh, and there's all these like, cheesy things about a beehive. So then you go, okay. And it goes, if you spend this much, you can see who this person is.
Oh, no. You have to spend.
Yeah, you've got to spend.
But if I had swiped right, I've even forgotten. Anyway, if I had showed interest in someone, then I would be able to see them. But because I swiped everybody, I don't know who they are. So they're just these pixelated people who apparently have been showing interest.
Oh.
And that was that. And that was my foray into dating apps.
Pixelated.
But I love how niche.
Don't even let you see what they look like.
Because you got to pay.
What is the point of a dating app or a hookup app if you can't even see the person because their face is pixelated?
Yeah, the thing is, it's probably because
so creepy.
It's because I've already pushed them aside, so that I don't get the right to see them.
Yeah, you've lost your chance.
I've lost my chance. I've lost my chance.
I love how niche some of these dating apps or sites can be. My sister was on one where the minimum you had to have in life was like a university degree.
Oh.
So it's for, you know,
wasn't it like
young professionals? Something like that. And then the more qualified you are in terms of your education, the more options you have. So if you have, you know, your undergrad, it's like, but if you have your honors, then the pool gets, you know, classier.
I did elite
and
singles,
classier.
Paid for it and everything. And it was the same. You actually see the same people.
She was happy with the results.
On Twitter and on Bumble.
But I would imagine that is the case.
I was on a someone put me on. I didn't do this myself. I was on a celebrity dating app for a while. It's called Raya. And I actually had it on my phone for a little bit. Mm-hmm. But you have to fill in a form. And then they check you out. And they, you know, depending on what kind of a social media presence you have, then you're either let in or you're out, and there's like Hollywood celebrities on there. Thank and goodness. It's like a really close knit, and ordinary schlubs don't get in there. So
I want to go in there and lie about who I am.
Do it Maybe that's where you score, Ben, because the standard is slightly higher. I mean, you're not gonna, you know, Charlize Theron's not swiping left and right. She's actually going to parties that she meets these people at for real. But you could.
The acceptance rate for Raya membership applications is approximately 8%.
Yeah, so they turf 92% of the entries.
So you got in?
Mm.
And how was that?
No luck? I mean, most of them are not even in this country. I don't think there was anyone in
South Africa. Notable users include Ben Affleck, Joe Jonas, Demi Lovato.
Halfway there.
Nicole Byer, Kiki Palmer, Sharon Stone.
Kiki's on and I'm in.
Did you see any of these?
No. They don't.
Who's Kiki Palmer?
I have no idea.
You don't know who Kiki Palmer has been?
You have to have people in your... It's like Tinder or anything. It starts with the area closest to you.
There's I see.
Fucking nothing. So
jeez.
I eventually deleted it.
Raya is not advertised.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what it always comes down to when you're single is about connections, right? So I don't meet a whole bunch of people. So I can understand you get these things where whatever can give you that first step.
Mm-hmm.
So I have these friends, and I think it's actually also just fascination. Like I've got this WhatsApp group of all the single guys who are in my golf school, and we've created a separate group, and it's kind of funny. It's just funny
because all the married ones just complain about their wives.
Oh, and it's boring. So we create our own one, and there's this one dude, like he's on Bumble, he's on Tinder, and he's going on dates through both of them.
Sure.
And he tells us about it, and it's funny. Like it's cool. It's an interesting conversation, and it's like a novel kind of thing.
No, they're people who do very well from these things.
I can just live vicariously through him on that. I don't have to be honest. Which is fine.
We're trying to farm Pinky out to the diplomatic community. And get her. Yeah, we're trying to get her some seriously high-level dates at the moment. Which,
diplomatic community because they've got garages that work? Or any other reason?
By the way, Pinky, please just come over here because we need to have an update. Someone actually sent me a message on Wednesday to say, can we please have an update? Was that man who Pinky spent the night at, was he robbed the next day when she broke out of his house and left his garage wide open?
No, he wasn't robbed.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. So there's a housekeeper.
Big relief. Oh.
So there's a housekeeper. So mm-hmm. she found the garage opened and mm-hmm. she fixed it.
And she was like, oh, some slut must have.
Another one.
Some skebresh.
These sluts.
Yes, skebresh.
Number four this week.
Oh, see, are you laughing? Okay.
So, all right, but you two are still talking?
We're still talking. Okay. I went to go check on the garage.
Yes.
Went twice.
Well, that's nice of you. Yeah. So you're very conscientious.
Exactly.
It's a good excuse to go back another time. She's if like, you don't have like something to return.
It's 8 o'clock in the evening, 5 days later. She's like, I'm just here to check.
Is everything okay?
All right. Gugu, thou shalt be missed. As smart as Mbulelo is, he has one flaw. His hate for Man United. 4-0 irrational.
That's not a flaw. That's just...
That's from TNT.
That's just normal.
TNT. Oh,
so Ben and Mbulelo agree with each other. There isn't an extra microphone for Mbulelo, so we've just put him in the room next door.
You've put him there like an old painter. He's just there.
Well, he's wearing the loudest shirt on God's earth.
It's even louder than the last one.
Last week's shirt was loud. This one is like a Madiba pattern, but it's...
It looks like modern granadillas.
Yeah.
It's alarming.
And you haven't seen the... Pants either.
And the shoes.
Get in here and apologize to everyone for your shirt that they can see from
It
space.
Is actually the Friday the 13th scare.
Did you see this the purple shoes?
Yo!
I think he's doing well. I think he pulls it off nicely.
We've got modern granadillas on the top and feathers on the bottom and purple.
He's got the shorts
shoes.
As well, as if the shirt wasn't shocking enough. And what color are the shoes? Are they also bright?
Purple.
Purple.
Jesus.
Guys, I'm not going to take on your insecurities as well. I've got enough of my own. So, do
but
us a favor.
I like it.
There's no insecurity on you. God, I've got arc eyes like someone who does welding.
Look at him blinking.
Looking at you. There's no insecurity. It's you have to be pretty confident to wear that outfit.
Yeah, no, I feel good about...
You know there are children coming today to our Christmas party. You're going to frighten them.
Listen, guys.
Or he'll be Santa.
I understand. This is everyone's way of saying you have nice clothes. So
yes, we're acknowledging
guys,
it.
Thank I'm you. Not. Thank you for the compliment. And I understand you all speak different love languages. So thank you very much. And
Go back to that box that we
put
Pinky is scowling. Archives, the hardest scowl.
you don't have to look at that again on a Friday.
Oh,
lucky
thank
you.
Goodness. Jeez.
All right. So, Gugu, here's some other messages for you. Lots of people who are going to miss you. In fairness, Ben is going to have to settle for sparkling personality because he's not going to get any hotter than she who has no name.
This is true.
This is from Morgan. Morgan's being very optimistic, clearly.
Well, Morgan, look, I know. I'm a, what's it, wilting, shrinking, violent, or whatever. I don't look...
Shrinking violence.
Violent. What are you?
I'm definitely not... Yeah,
he's
I'm
not sure. What
I'm not on Face Valley the biggest catch anymore. And I look at myself. I'm 38. So it was my birthday last week. And I feel
happy
old
birthday,
and bedraggled. Yeah. So, I mean, look, it's a depreciation factor. Like my book value, to put it in car terms, isn't what it used to be. I'm not something on a showroom anymore. And I'm conscious of that.
They'll sell you at one of those places in Rondberg.
I'm going to be traded in and traded up and put into, dodgy clutch. I'm just
Old faithful, I think. Ben, there's hope. You're just in that in-between age. You need to become older.
This coming from you, who's totally given up.
Yeah.
Busted.
Shrinking violence.
She's like, Ben, there's hope. And I'm like, is it coming from you?
There's no hope for me. There's hope for Ben.
It. Both of you.
Because when he gets older, then he'll have... reappeal.
Yes. No.
See, I disagree. I don't think there's phases. I think it's always just you be the best you. I'm not going to be that guy with delightful gray hair and he's like got uncle abilities. Like, that's not me. I'm just me, and then there'll be an older me. I don't think I have that next phase. It's just me.
Oh. You're going to get funnier. You have got funnier.
At times, yeah. Oh. But again, it's you got to know your audience. So yeah, to someone, I'm amazing.
Someone
and vice
somewhere.
Vice versa, somewhere.
Probably one of those people you walk past in Melrose Arch.
Well, I just swiped vigorously over on Bumble in my 3 days of...
Yeah. She's sitting at home crying right now.
It's like, what a bitch. How's this guy doing this?
All right, well, it's time it's time for the five things you need to know this morning. Let's start off with a story that comes to us from EWN. Over 150 doctors and health professionals facing the axe in Limpopo. We were just talking this week about how we can't afford to lose doctors.
Mm.
Over 150 community service doctors and other health professionals in the horrible province of Limpopo will be without a job come the end of December. We can't afford this. How's this happening? The provincial health department said it would not be renewing its 12-month contracts due to financial constraints because they've stolen the money. It's understood hundreds of nurses and other affiliated workers will also be affected. Spokesperson for the department, Neil Shikwambana, said they were exploring other avenues that the health professionals could be absorbed into the system with. For instance, there are issues of overtime and freeing money from professional doctors to say, do you still have to have a doctor coming from private practice to come and do this just to cover a gap? Or can you release that money and employ an additional doctor into that space? So basically, if you're in Limpopo and you cut yourself over the holidays, bye-bye. It was great to know you.
Hear what Dr. Wood said, the day of reconciliation where everyone loses the plot. So now we need all those doctors times 7 anyway.
Sure.
And now they're not there.
Sia loves this story, but it continues to be something of a salacious gossip rumor around town.
Oh, what?
Former president of Botswana, Ian Khama, has rubbished claims he was ever romantically involved with businesswoman Bridget Motsepe-Radebe. Khama said in an interview with Times Live on Thursday he had known Motsepe-Radebe for many years when he was going through a trying time. She was there to give moral support. Let's just not forget that we think we don't have an aristocracy in this country. We think we don't have an elite. This woman was married to Jeff Radebe. She is the sister of Cyril's wife, Tsepo Motsepe, and Patrice Motsepe, who's the richest guy in the country. So that's two presidents. A cabinet minister, a president, and a guy who's made billions.
And two girls in one cup.
Hi, Wena.
And a president of Botswana who's supposedly romantically linked to them. Khama's drastically and dramatically exited the scene when he resigned in May from Botswana Democratic Party, which has held power since 1966 and backed the Botswana Patriotic Front, a new party that broke away from the governing BDP. She was there for me, he says, as a family friend. What is surprising about the allegation of us being romantically involved, that there's no proof to support it. There are no photos of us when we were in a compromising position or having a romantic dinner. In this age of social media, that could have gone viral already. He makes a good point. Someone should have seen us and snapped us, said Khama. But, he says, he could only conclude Motsepe-Radebe was being targeted because his detractors were trying to discredit anyone seen to be associated with him. You know, even if they did, so what? So what? You think, I mean, Jeff had that very open affair. Do you remember Jeff Radebe, Bridget's husband?
When?
You remember there was that whole story about that young woman and he was texting her. And
well, he was the minister of side chicks for quite a while.
For a little while.
Before we got glamorized. And,
yeah, so yeah. He had his fun. Now, I think it's only right that she had her fun, and she scaled up to a president. He was with some skevere. She could have been with a president.
And he was also sending nudes, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
He was like the oldest guy sending nudes in SA.
Yeah, definitely the oldest person on social media sending dick pics.
He really needed the help of filters.
Jeff, yeah, sure. Imagine the angles you have to go to get your old wrinkly cock. Yeah.
No.
Old wrinkly cock and grey pubic hair.
No, no.
Oh, yes. There's something no girl wants to wake up to. Oh, look, the minister sent me a picture. Let me open this up. I'll go on my WhatsApp quickly. It's a sea snake.
Or a Mopani worm.
Old dried up Mopani worm.
No, but that's not the reaction. These girls are very smart. They then have to pretend like, it's the greatest thing they've seen.
Ben, Dr. Robin wants to know, what are the custody arrangements for Meowses? And is Meowses happy? How is Meowses?
Oh, we've been through this now. I got the cats. The cats are so happy. So I moved into a new place, beginning of the month. So I live in Ilovo now. That's my new hood.
Very nice.
The cats are, like, Meowses doesn't, she's not a street cat anymore. She's now inside. So she's actually developed this natural color. She's actually quite a pale cat. And she has this most magnificent coat that like an oligarch's wife would pay millions for.
Right.
And
that's very good.
So she's now happy and healthy and she's
inside.
And
remember, inside. She used to once be a street cat.
She used to walk the streets. She used to rub against car tires. She used to roll in mud. Now she's like inside.
Look at her now.
She just like,
and she looks magnificent.
She's like pristine. And
oh, magic.
Yeah, and Hopkins magic. Also just is the happiest little guy because he has an outside section now. And he squares off against lorries. He bites plants. Yeah, they're really thriving. They're doing well.
Well, that's terrific news. Apparently, they found the deepest point on land, and it's been found in Antarctica. This is very interesting stuff.
Deepest
Eastern
point
Antarctica.
On land, as in the ocean?
No, that would be the Marianas Trench.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But so the deepest point on land, a continental Earth plate, was found in East Antarctica under the Denman Glacier. The ice-filled canyon reaches
three...
How
did they find that?
They do these topographical surveys of Earth, and now with all the technology that we have, you can actually bounce sonar and radar, and I imagine laser into the Earth and figure out whether or not something's there or not. And 3.5 kilometers down below sea level, only the ocean valleys are deeper still. That would be like the Marianas Trench, which is just off the Philippines. The discovery is illustrated in a new map of the White Continent that reveals the shape of the bedrock under the ice sheet in unprecedented detail. Because, of course, Antarctica is always covered in ice. We don't know what the shape of the continent is underneath the ice. And for the longest time, they've been doing these surveys to try to figure out what Antarctica actually looks like. It's the least known of all of our continents, right? The least explored. The discovery is... featuring facts that are critical to our understanding of how the polar south might change in the future. For comparison, the lowest exposed land on Earth at the Dead Sea shore is just 413 meters below sea level.
Yeah, that's quite a place.
So this is quite a lot lower. The new finding shows, for example, previously unrecognized ridges that will impede the retreat of melting glaciers in a warming world, and alternatively a number of smooth, sloping terrains that could accelerate withdrawals of ice. Mm. This is undoubtedly the most accurate portrait yet of what lies beneath Antarctica's ice sheet. I love stories like this. It's exciting stuff. Okay. You want to know what else is happening? The world has its first $2 trillion company.
I can't even write that out in figures.
Amazon?
No. Saudi Aramco shares zoomed higher on Thursday, turning the massive state oil producer, that's the Saudi state oil producer, into the world's first $2 trillion company and achieving the valuation long sought by Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. The stock gained 10% for a second consecutive day, reaching 38.7 rials per share before giving up some of its gains. Saudi Aramco has gained roughly 300 billion in value since the shares debuted on the Riyadh Stock Exchange on Monday in the biggest initial public offering on record. It is by far the most valuable company in the world, dwarfing runner-up Apple, which is worth only 1.2 trillion.
Only.
Sure.
Wow.
So, yeah, you know what? All those girls in Cape Town who are hoping for a very good year in 2020, that Saudi prince comes a-knocking to take you to his little hotel in the Seychelles for a weekend where you'll supposedly be, in inverted commas, entertaining him. You best go along because he's got some cash to spend. You didn't hear it from me.
Thanks for the advice. I'll even take that.
Yes, yeah. If they're looking for you, you better go.
Can I also put in my 2 week leave right now?
You go with my blessings, yeah. Sir Patrick Stewart did not want a Star Trek return. Who does?
Is he Spock?
No, he was Captain
Kirk.
Jean-Luc Picard. Yeah. Remember?
I don't.
Patrick Stewart.
No, I didn't. I never got into Star Trek.
Grey man, slightly...
I know William Shatner.
Okay, yeah. Well, he took on the captain role after William Shatner, I think.
Ah.
The grey old dude, sharp
Gareth.
Features.
This is a stretch, yeah.
Okay, well, Patrick Stewart didn't want to return to Star Trek. He had planned to turn down an approach, and then what did they do? They shone a couple of shiny dollars in his face.
Oh, so he's the meme guy.
Yes, the meme guy.
Bald dude.
He's 78 years old. He will again portray Captain Jean-Luc Picard, who he originally played in Star Trek The Next Generation from 1987 until 1994 in a number of spin-off movies in a series for CBS All Access, but he initially planned to reject producers' polite and enthusiastic approach to reprise the role because he was convinced that his stint with the franchise was done.
Polite and enthusiastic.
Asked why he wanted to return, he admitted, "To be honest, I don't want to. I had determined long ago that my time with Jean-Luc and Star Trek was over." I mean, I love the way these people, like, they talk about the character in a third person, like my relationship with Jean-Luc Picard. Fucking actors.
But then I also love that everyone has a price.
Yeah, of course. I mean, do me a favor.
That's the bottom line of this whole
he
story.
He was Professor Xavier.
They gave
in
him enough
X-Men
money.
Yes. That guy. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. We got a tip off there on how to explain this to Ben from Wendell. So thank you, Wendell.
Does the studio mic not work?
What do you mean?
At all?
What do you mean?
What exactly what I said?
Mulelo's one?
Yeah.
Let me try it. You want to try it?
Let's. I don't know if you guys noticed, but he actually adds so much to the show. He's like the best voice that's been in this for weeks.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great deal.
Oh, Ben, that's very nice.
And here you've got him in his shirt shouting, but you can't even hear him.
I was nearly bursting in here, Ben. I wanted to tell you he's Dr. Xavier. Come
exactly.
on.
Exactly. And he had that information 2 minutes ago while we were bumbling through this crap.
Don't stop with your bumble. You bumble, bumble, bumble all fucking morning with you. It's all about bumble. Ooh, started watching The Mandalorian. Very impressed, and there's a pleasant surprise to the main character. Glad Disney got it right. Yes, I agree. I've watched five episodes.
Does Mickey Mouse come out with a lightsaber?
Oh, boy! I stay not in the same province when... this is a very badly worded message that comes from Clayton. Clayton says, I stay in the same province where the NHI was piloted, and it's been a disaster. Yes, I think that's clear to everybody. All the best for the future, Mr. Heritage. Been fun listening to your input and conversations about cars. I think they mean that for you, Gugu.
Mm-hmm. Where are you going, Gugu?
More cars. Maybe TV.
Mm-hmm. Ben, it's good that you stay off of those dating sites. After my breakup, I thought it would be a good idea to see what's out there. I must tell you that I was knocking boots, swinging dick, and lots of other stuff. I never knew there were so many thirsty women out there. I stopped all that dating stuff because they started calling me babe and honey after 3 days.
Mm. Well, I mean, like, I obviously don't know as handsome as you or prolific, because that never happened, thankfully.
Yeah.
Not thankfully.
Look at that. Well, isn't that exciting?
Just
That's from Vinny.
Jeez, Vinny. Prolific.
Yeah. And then if Gugu and Mbulelo got together and had a baby, it would be Ben.
I disagree. I disagree completely.
Sure.
Oh, Ben.
All right. Okay, very nice. Here's an email, Gugu, that I think you'll like.
Uh-huh.
I was listening yesterday to you guys like I always do, and I'm super proud of listening to you guys. You represent the cream of our Rainbow Nation. I'm proud to hear what smart people, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, eventually, Francois from Kruger National Park, says, P.S. Gugu, the guys give you a lot of shit, but you're my favorite.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That's nice. Love the show. Can't live without you guys. Currently on holiday, slightly tipsy, which is why I'll keep this email short and sweet. And then this person, Dr. Liesl, continues to write
very long email. It's an entire sheet.
So clearly she was not just tipsy, but drunk.
Oh.
Sia, this email's intended for you. Doctors in a theater are doing a job like everyone else. Can you imagine standing in theater doing your job for more than 10 hours without any music or small talk with your colleagues?
Yeah, this is because we were saying that Sia was with his sister.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't quite like the way everyone was just so Harry casual.
Mm. Yeah. The doctors do things like listen to music and talk to each other while they're busy doing operations. Mm.
Sia thinks they should be totally focused on him, but that's how Sia feels about everyone on Earth. Not just doctors.
It wasn't even me, it was my sister giving birth.
Still, it's all about you, Sia.
Okay, yada.
So anyway, Dr. Liesl says, during C-sections, when mom is awake and dad is in theater, how much can you converse with the parents? Is this your first baby? How many kids do you have? What is the name? Will you go anywhere exciting on holiday this year?
How long did you try for? Yep. Was it rewarding?
Ben, you could do this. We understand and try to make it special for everyone, but do understand that we're humans too. You know when you need to be worried? When the surgeon or anesthetist asks everyone to be quiet or switch off the music and no one talks to each other, except for abrupt orders to frantic nurses. Then you know that there's a real problem and they're trying their utmost to look calm while they're saving a life. So next time you're in that situation, enjoy the moment. Be grateful that all is going well and don't report or give bad reviews to doctors who may be your only hope someday.
Oh, jeez, what a warning. Well, okay. I hear it. I hope I'm never in that situation again, because that was a lot to take in.
Yeah, but this isn't the first time that you've been quite disparaging towards professionals. I mean, that you had a proper go at strippers not so long ago.
What did I ever say about strippers?
So that was derogatory towards what they did. And
I like the ladies and gentlemen of the night.
Yeah, well.
Or during the day, depends how much you pay them.
You have been quite disparaging about strippers. I've noticed this, and so have some of our listeners.
I have never used the term mop for them. So I'm all for whoever works at the Purple Pleasure Palace.
It's because of you that we cancelled our Christmas party at the Grand this year.
Whoever right now is stumbling back home and has to shake glitter out of nooks and crannies.
See, now that's a horrible cliche. See, like, strippers have to have glitter.
Are you telling me there's not a stripper?
Are you telling me
6:51 a.m.
condescending, Sia?
Ah, it's the truth.
Leave our strippers alone.
You guys have the more the merrier at the Purple Pleasure Palace. Go right ahead.
Here's this is interesting. This is great. Vongani says, "Yes, Sia, we play amapiano as we crack open chests."
Amapiano is that song that everyone's playing at the moment.
That word, yeah, that's freaky. Mm. And I think it's also because I've gotten into this weird rabbit hole of watching anything on TLC. And TLC has these docu-series about, like, I didn't know I was pregnant, help, my body's eating me. Like, it's
help, I'm watching TLC.
All of these weird things. So I think that's why, because you have a playlist going on. Next thing you wake up and there's, like, you know, a kidney removed and you have a hammer stuck in your body.
Sia, this is Dr. Robin now, who says, "I also play music and chat in the theatre. One of my assistants often wants to talk about slightly inappropriate things, so I change subjects and I talk to the parents. Yep, silence in theatre is generally a bad thing." That's from Dr. Robin. So you see.
Have you guys watched Horrible Bosses? The Jennifer Aniston character is a dentist.
Yeah, a long time ago.
And one of the things she used to do when her patients were knocked out is, like, take all of these weird photos with them. See, I also think there's a sort of summer kinky side to some of these people as well. The less I say, the better. That's the next thing I have to...
Ben, have you found any nice new pictures of Camilla Parker Bowles? You always find the best Christmas pictures
of
Camilla.
Sadly not. I've been quite busy of late, and I haven't actually... I've neglected Camilla. That's something for the weekend. I also have no Wi-Fi at home for 2 weeks.
Why? Is this because you moved?
Yeah.
Ben, this is why you didn't have a good week.
It is. It corrects, yeah.
Piece by piece, I'm seeing what's going on.
Like, it's all coming together for my new home, my new base, my new me. And there's no Wi-Fi, and you forget that that's actually what we need in life.
Well, we've got some exciting stuff coming up later on. Dan Wells, who's the co-founder of Eskom's Push, a very useful app that a lot of people are using to check when there's load shedding in their neighborhood.
Most useful app.
Yeah. And it's not part of Eskom, obviously, because it's efficient.
And it works.
Yeah.
I haven't found it. I think it's more Eskom than the app. Quite recently, the app says there's no load shedding, and I'm sitting in darkness, and I'm just like,
"You've probably chosen Eskom. The wrong suburb."
See, no, I think it's the right one.
Or you're on a different grid.
This is the question I want to ask. Is how do you develop an efficient app that's reputable and that can be relied upon when you're dealing with such an disreputable and unreliable company? Yeah. How do you even know how to schedule stuff when they don't?
And also the name Eskom's Push, that is clearly a play on words, right?
Yes.
Very much
and
so.
And how some people don't realize, they don't see that. Like on Twitter, they call Eskom's Push out for load shedding.
Mm.
And it's like Eskom's Push has to reply and say, "Dude, we're not Eskom."
Not us.
And like, can you not see that they're not? Stupid people.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Bloody stupid.
Bloody stupid. I've got to tell you about this, because this week Paolo and Dory are being a little more self-indulgent than usual. Have you ever heard their 80s show?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're just playing some of their favorite 80s songs for the second week in a row, but I'm sure...
I feel like that's an acid trip that neither of them are willing to get out of.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. They're very big on 80s. Last week they had some excellent songs, and then they played one or two like Laura Branigan and some horrible stuff that no one should be playing anymore. But you've got to listen to it. You've got to believe, see it to believe it. And that will be our live 80s show today. And that's with Paolo and Dory. It's probably an acid trip. That's probably what it is. All right, when we come back, we'll get into some news. We'll see. We'll get to meet Dan Wells from Eskom's Push. And we'll take your calls and your thoughts and your messages on 079-748-2090. You know what to do. Get hold of us immediately. All right. And we are all here, and you can also send your messages to Google if you would like to, because Google would like to hear from you, obviously. Now, if I could just get this to actually not be a music video and a song, I'd be fucking thrilled. But everything's a fucking music video now. CliffCentral.com.